Good morning.
Good morning.
As you can tell, Jody Hill is not here this morning, but we are delighted to have Ms. Marilyn Hudson. She's a professor of homiletics and liturgics at Memphis Theological Seminary. She's going to be bringing the message this morning, and I'm very impressed. I read her credentials. She's been preaching and teaching for over 30 years. I'm on your 26 myself, and I admire anybody who has stuck it out this long. So we are so appreciative that you're with us today. Next Sunday, Jody Hill should be back. But until then, we'll fill in his stead. I'd like to call your attention to a few announcements in your bulletin. This month, we have our mission focus of the Presbyterian Hunger Grant. Our goal is $500, and if you read what's in the bulletin, you will know that Tippah County has benefited numerous times over the last few years, especially through the Tippah County Good Samaritan Center from this fund. So I encourage anyone who feels led to do so to please consider contributing to that fund. You see other announcements there. We'll be celebrating communion. And also, let's look at our prayer list. My mother has said to take her name off there. She's feeling much better. I'm very thankful for that. Lynn updated me that Leon is home and is going to stay there. They're watching online with us today, but hope to be back with us in person very, very soon. We continue to extend our sympathies to the family of David Lentz. And then you see other announcements there. Are there any additions to our prayer list this morning? Okay. So let's go ahead with a greeting. It says, "The love of Jesus Christ be with you." Okay, at this time we'll have our prelude. That's one of my favorites. My apologies. There are two announcements that I forgot to mention. On the back of your announcement sheet, you have the nomination form. If you would like to nominate someone to the elder class of 2004, if you please make sure you fill that out. You can drop that in the offering plate on your way out. The deadline to turn those in is October the 11th. If you join with me, if you'll look in your bulletin, our call to worship this morning is a responsive reading. I'll be reading the first part, and you will respond with everything that's in bold. When the poor and needy seek water, and there is none, and their tongue is parched with thirst,
I, the Lord, will answer them. I, the God of Israel, will not forsake them.
I will open rivers on the bare heights and fountains in the midst of the valleys.
I will make the wilderness a pool of water and the dry land springs of water.
I will put in the wilderness the cedar, the acacia, the myrtle, and the olive. I will set in the desert the cypress, the plane, and the pine together.
So that all may see and know, all may consider and understand,
that the hand of the Lord has done this.
The Holy One of Israel has created.
If you'll join with me now in our unison prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed, and grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image, through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen. Believe the good news. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Our first reading this morning is a psalm. It's Psalm 65. If you'd like to follow along, you can find this in your pew Bible on page 527. 527. Psalm 65. Praise is due to you, O God in Zion, and to you shall vows be performed, O you who answer prayer. To you all flesh shall come, when deeds of iniquity overwhelm us, and you forgive our transgressions. Happy are those whom you choose and bring near to live in your courts. We shall be satisfied with the goodness of your house, your holy temple. By awesome deeds you answer us with deliverance, O God of our salvation. You are the hope of all the ends of the earth and of the farthest seas. By your strength you establish the mountains. You are girded with might. You silence the roaring of the seas, the roaring of their waves, the tumult of the peoples. Those who live at earth's farthest bounds are awed by your signs. You make the gateways of the morning and the evening shout for joy. You visit the earth and water it. You greatly enrich it. The river of God is full of water. You provide the people with grain, for you have prepared it. You water its furrows abundantly, settling its ridges, softening it with showers, and blessing its growth. You crown the year with your bounty. Your wagon tracks overflow with richness. The pastures of the wilderness overflow. The hills gird themselves with joy. The meadows clothe themselves with flocks. The valleys deck themselves with grain. They shout and sing together for joy. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. I want to thank you for allowing me to be with you this morning and to share God's word with you. I've known Jody for a long time, and I'm grateful that he entrusted me with his church today as I come to share with you. Let us pray. Creator God, you spoke a word and worlds came into being. Speak now again so that your world may be revealed to us and we may live into that hope. For we pray in the name of Christ. Amen. Our second reading this morning is taken from the letter to the Romans, chapter 8, beginning with verse 18. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to decay and will obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now, and not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. The word of God for the people of God. Sometimes when I read the Psalms, like we did this morning, or read passages that describe the earth in amazing ways, I think I hear the voice of Julie Andrews wafting above us singing, "The hills are alive with the sound of music." But the psalmist portrays the earth as a living, breathing creature, with the ability to kick up her heels or clap her hands in rhythm and sing with unbridled joy her praise to the God who created her. She adorns herself with vibrant colors, prepares extravagant meals. She can be fierce and proud and generous and nurturing. She is a creature like you and me, made by God for the good of all. Someone besides the psalmist came to view the earth this way with that same kind of intimacy. His name was Francesco di Bernadone, later known as Saint Francis of Assisi. He was well known because he wrote a song called The Canticle of the Sun. He lived around the turn of the 13th century as a hermit who had given up his rather large inheritance to become a person who belonged only to God. His song goes like this. Most high, all-powerful, all-good Lord, all praise is yours, all glory, all honor, and all blessings. To you alone, Most High, do they belong, and no mortal lips are worthy to pronounce your name. Praised be you, my Lord, through sister moon and the stars. In the heavens, you have made them bright, precious, and fair. Praised be you, my Lord, through brothers, wind, and air, and fair and stormy all weather's moods by which you cherish all that you have made. And praised be you, my Lord, through sister water, so useful, humble, precious, and pure. Praised be you, my Lord, through brother fire, through whom you light the night, and he is beautiful and playful and robust and strong. Praised be you, my Lord, through our sister, Mother Earth, who sustains and governs us, producing varied fruits with colored flowers and herbs. This song goes on with many verses, but you can hear in it the sense that we and the earth depend on each other, for we are both creatures of God. St. Francis has a legacy that is celebrated on October 4th every year, the Feast of St. Francis. And so that's why many churches, like my church in Memphis today, is having the blessing of the animals during their worship service. And you should see a sanctuary where you have dogs and cats and birds and other varieties of pets coming and worshiping with you. But that's why I'm preaching today from this text that's a little different from what you would see in the Revised Standard Version. St. Francis had this way of living with a loving respect for the natural world as a member of the family of creatures belonging to God. Well, sometimes I wonder what St. Francis would say if he stood on our planet today. Or what kind of songs would be sung if the psalmist watched the wildfires consuming acre upon acre of land in places across this globe, or watched as the waters rose above the homes of people in just a matter of minutes because of unpredictable flash flooding. Perhaps both of them would recognize in the intensity of the raging storms that these years of joyful praise from happy mountains are being drowned out by turbulent howling of an angry planet. Sister Water is no longer humble and pure. Brother Wind is disrespecting his cousins, Forest and Meadow. Mother Earth is looking battered and bruised as her body decays. She gasps for breath as her rivers dry up. She sobs and moans as her body breaks down. Maybe the Apostle Paul was thinking of this kind of earth when he wrote his letter to the Christians at Rome. What he saw around him was a created world that couldn't quite thrive in ways that would appear to be glorious and awesome and magnificent, like the God who created them. Why not? Because the earth was vulnerable, just like a human being is vulnerable to abuse, exploitation, and ultimately destruction. Paul's eyes could watch the leaders of the Roman Empire mine every resource they could get their hands on for their own wealth and power, never thinking that the earth was a living thing that belonged to a living God. He watched the earth suffer, and in fact, he could hear its groans, just as I now can hear the earth's groans. I don't know about you, but the last several months have taken a toll on me and my friends, as they have on most people. The arrival of COVID-19 transformed so many things in our lives. And for me, it transformed my awareness of human mortality as I watched the number of deaths from this virus now climb to over 700,000 in the United States alone. My appreciation changed for how much I need social connection with others and how dependent I am on strangers to meet my most basic needs. It changed my recognition of what is truly essential for life and what is not. For many of us, this transition or transformation has been wearing. We get tired of it. The prolonged threat of a debilitating illness has felt incredibly stressful. But many just want everything to go back to the way it was before, pre-COVID, wanting it so badly that they're willing to pretend that the virus either doesn't exist or that it can do no harm. But going back is not very realistic. We move forward or not at all. We need to be concentrating on the future, not the past. When the Christians in Rome focused on their own suffering, they got discouraged, angry, even depressed. And that's why the Apostle Paul said, "Sure, you've got suffering now, but this cannot possibly compare with what you have yet to see revealed. God's promise is waiting for you." See, Paul believed in the resurrection. He was sure that what was revealed in Jesus' own resurrection from death was a promise that God would keep for everyone, not just for human beings, but for all of creation. God's glory was real because it had been seen and touched in Jesus. These followers of Jesus in Rome just hadn't experienced that kind of glory for themselves yet. You know, I admire people that can see what others can't always see. I mean, have you ever tried to look at one of those pictures that reveals one image to you and people say, no, I see something different. And you work and work to look at it until finally something happens and there's a shift. It's the one that I've seen has this stylish young woman silhouetted against a bright sky. But then you look at it long enough and you realize, oh, it is the profile of an older woman's face. And what you see one way is completely different from what you see the other way. Once you see the new picture, you can't unsee it again. One of the things that I got used to with COVID was watching a lot of television, like most of you probably did. And one of my favorites is to watch HGTV. I am amazed when an architect or an engineer or a decorator can just walk into a small, dingy space and say, "Oh, this can be transformed. I see it." One of my favorite shows is You Live in What? It's videos, these historic buildings that were once something and now they are beautiful homes. somebody had to be able to see something that no one else could see and then put their blood, sweat, and tears into bringing it to life and light. Paul's belief in the resurrection made him see that way. Instead of seeing only a problem, he saw a possibility. Instead of concentrating on what was wrong, he led people to long for what is right. And in his letter, he uses this odd metaphor of a pregnant woman to describe creation and to help Christians in Rome understand that what they were experiencing now was not all there was, but that there was a whole new world in store for them. Now, I've never been pregnant or given birth to a child, so I only know what I've been told. But this image of creation waiting to give birth, longing with eager anticipation for the coming of a new creation, is full of meaning for us. It's kind of like an episode of Call the Midwife. The earth calls and calls between contractions, but the midwife can't get there, doesn't come. The creation doesn't give up hope, though, because she can anticipate the liberation from her bondage and the day when she will be more alive than she ever has been, transformed into her fullest self in being the mother to a new creation. In this letter, Paul says that we who belong to God know that feeling ourselves, because we know what it's like to have bodies that break or get sick or slow down with arthritis, and we know that in the end we will end up dying. So we wait in hope, like the earth, to be a part of something new, where every part of ourselves will come to life fully in every possible way. We wait for new creation, a new family, a new life to appear. I've been on sabbatical leave this year from my teaching at MTS. It's a gift that not everybody can experience in their lives, but it's a gift of space and time to stop with all of the workload and reflect on the future. I had gained a lot of weight because I had sat for hours and days and weeks in front of a computer screen, learning how to teach remotely and how to do reports and other work that had to be done in order for problems to be solved and an institution to survive. But in January, when I stepped back, I began to think about the future me that I wanted to be. I knew I couldn't go back and be who I once was. I'm not that person now. But I also knew that I wanted a future where I could be active, where I could give when someone needed something, and I could be present and active again in ministry. And so what did I do? I didn't just sit and wait for something to happen. I went to the doctor. I found a physical therapist. I got on Noom. And yes, I have a lot more weight that I need to lose before the end of the year and before the future arrives. But I can now get up and walk. If I'm sitting on the floor, I can get up on my own. I mean, these seem like small things, but they are major victories. Why? Because I began to look at what I wanted my future to look like instead of dwelling on the problems of the present. Now, I thank God for that opportunity at this point in my life. And I am living into a future that is possible rather than simply accepting the present and focusing what's wrong with it. The Apostle Paul in this letter to the Romans hears groaning and thinks possibility, newness, hope, birth, and hope, according to Paul, is what saves us. He says this. For Paul, we don't wait passively as if we really don't expect change to ever come, or that we expect God to swoop in someday and just make everything different. No. We wait actively, eagerly, on the edge of our seats, already anticipating the world that has yet to come to pass. And that, my friends, is our salvation. After all, when Paul talks about the creation groaning in labor, who is the midwife that is being called? Is it God? No. It is the children of God. The earth is waiting for the children of God to be revealed. And who are the children of God? They are those whom God has adopted into the family and made joint heirs with Christ. Those of us who have been baptized into Christ are what the creation is waiting for. It seems staggering to think that the earth's future is waiting on us. After all, we aren't fully redeemed ourselves. We live in these fragile bodies. But as children of God, we are expected to show up and act out. The creation is in agony until you and I are revealed as the people of God that we claim to be. The earth is waiting for God's children to show up and see what others cannot see. An earthly planet that can be fully alive and bountiful because it is truly loved and treated with respect as a sister in our family. Families take care of families, don't they? And so it is our job as members of God's family to free the earth to be fully the creation that God intended it to be. The Presbyterian Church has been actively promoting creation care for a number of years. And you, as a denomination, have joined with a coalition of other religious partners around the globe, united as faithful stewards to heal the damage of this planet. Your church promotes active waiting through teaching local congregations how to be earth care congregations. As a denomination, you know that God's new creation is depending on your efforts to anticipate this new heaven and new earth through just and careful living. So what kind of future do you hope for? Do you hope for a future that is more promising than this present situation? Do you hope for a healthy planet for your children and your children's children and their children? Do you believe that God's glorious future is summoning you to actively work for a new tomorrow? If you do, then you don't wait passively. You find a way to live into it in an active way. I'm grateful that there are other children in God's families that are working on God's future now. There are many groups who are trying to clean up the mess, but there are others who are actually trying to bring a new balance to the earth's environment, not simply by cleaning up the mess that we've made, but by employing new systems of economic metrics that ensure that business ventures work to partner with the planet rather than against the planet. Restoring the Earth Foundation is an example of one of these organizations working for a new future. I think it's time for the church to go back and reread some of the old Psalms again, to rethink the relationship between what happens in here and what happens out there. It's time for us to start singing a new song that will link us anew with Sister Water and Brother Wind. Maybe we need to come to believe that our planet is a member of God's family too, and give it a special place in our hearts and in our lives. So let's get serious here. What do you hope for? Are you hoping to just get back to an old way of life? Or are you anticipating with eagerness a future that God intends? What do you hope for? What do you see when you look at yourself and your church and your planet? Do you just see suffering, or do you see possibility? Paul wanted you to see a future, not a past. Paul would want you to see promise, not pain. Paul would want you to be so eager for what is coming that you will get up, roll up your sleeves, and start working for that new future now. It is by hope, after all, that we are saved. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us pray. O God of mystery and wonder, God of our future hope, you are the source of all life. You course through your Spirit in our lives and minds and bodies, and you breathe new life where you go in this planet. Help us to believe your promises and work for your future. As we gather today, we recognize the suffering that is around us, and we remember those on the prayer list that so desperately need your healing power, your comfort, and your strength. Embrace them with your love and draw them into your hope, even as they suffer. We pray for this world. May those who experience violence through nature or through neighbor be protected with a new awareness of your love, your promises, and your hope. And be with this church so that it may blossom and grow through living into your promise of new life. And now, as your children, hear us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his followers. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Let us stand now together and say what we believe as the children of God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. As we go from this place, live into hope that tomorrow will be God's future, and you, as children of God, will have a most amazing part in it. And now may the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all, both now and forever. Amen.